I'm going to continue what I dealt with this morning, this afternoon. That is our passage out of 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and understanding the times, I think this may be a theme that we have for this year, but in 1 Chronicles 12:32, talks about the children of Israel, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. All right, and so this gives us an idea that they understood God's plan historically for Israel. And we ought to understand God's plan historically for Israel because everything is based around His chosen people. Now we're in the church age, and in the Old Testament, the church age, you might say, was a mystery. It was revealed by Paul. So the Old Testament kind of jumped over this 2,000-year period that we're living in and jumped right to the conclusion of everything. That would be the tribulation and millennium. And so we need to be those that have understanding of the times. Now, let's look at several passages here. First of all, in John's epistles, 1 John 2:18. 1 John 2:18. John 2:18. Here's first reference to the term Antichrist. 2:18 says, "Little children, it is the last time." Now, John was speaking in the first century. He was alive. His apostle John lived in the first century. He lived during the Lord's lifetime, which would have been in the early 20s and 30s when he was an adult. And anyway, he says, it is the last time. So last time or last times, these terms relate to the first coming of Christ. When Christ came the first time, he ushered in the last times. Now, since the Jews rejected him, he's going to come again. But the first and second comings of the Lord are all within the last times. All right, so John says this. It is the last time, that, and as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. So the intensity of Antichrist picks up in the last times, but there'll be the ultimate Antichrist. So there are Antichrist and the Antichrist. Charles Manson said he was Antichrist. Or Christ, but he, you know, was really an Antichrist. And there have been many, but there's coming the Antichrist. Now, so here we have a reference to Antichrist, Antichrist. Then let's look elsewhere here in verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. And then again in chapter 4, verse 3, 1 John 4:3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus is Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, whereby ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. So here the spirit of Antichrist. And then in 2 John 1:7, we have the fourth reference to Antichrist in the singular. Verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is the deceiver and an Antichrist. All right, so here we have four verses using the word Antichrist. One using Antichrist, and the Antichrist will come into the world. And there's the spirit of Antichrist. Now, the spirit of Antichrist began, I believe, back here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. So let's look there, Genesis 3, 15. Here is the reference to the seed promise. The Lord says to the serpent, I would put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. All right. So the head blow that the Lord will give will be a fatal one, the serpent, the seed of the serpent. But that, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This probably is a cryptic reference to the cross and the nails and his feet. But anyway, we have the battle then between the seed of the woman, that's the Lord, the Messiah, through the Virgin Mary, all right, and the seed of the serpent. We're not talking about baby snakes here. I say that not facetiously, but we're not talking about baby snakes. We're talking about a person, the Antichrist. And so the ultimate battle between Christ and Antichrist will occur at the Battle of Armageddon, last 3.5 years of tribulation. But the spirit of Antichrist has been in existence through the years. The spirit of Antichrist is obviously anti-God, a rebellious spirit. And so I'm going to use several graphic models here. So we have our standard timeline that you should be acquainted with. And in this we have the cross here. So this, as Brother Jim said this morning, time is linear. We have a beginning and we have an end. Linear. Time is linear. Many religions thinks it's cyclical. Hinduism thinks it's cyclical. Mormonism thinks it's cyclical. It's just eternal. It just goes on and on and on. All right? But no, history is linear. And the Bible gives us this linear history. So we have through history here, we could say here's the Old Testament era, New Testament era here. We have other significant time elements. This is called the tribulation time, and this is the millennium. Millennium will be 1,000 years, and tribulation 7 years. Church age, we're not sure how long it will be. The cross is within the church age, of course. But the Old Testament era. So the spirit of Antichrist is a spirit that goes through a history, all the way through history. And it's Satan against Christ. It's Antichrist against Christ. That's the spirit of Antichrist. That's the spirit of rebellion that's found in the natural heart of the unsaved man, rebellion. This rebellion does increase, to be sure. But you have the spirit of Antichrist going all the way through human history. And as Paul stated here, I want to change this just slightly here, put the cross a little more over here. But as Paul indicated there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, men shall wax worse and worse. So they'll be increasing in their evil. And so the rebellion here certainly increases. And in the rebellion, we might look at it this way, that it's kind of like a, let me try to describe it. As far as John said in the first century there, we know we're in the last days because there are many antichrists. But there's coming the antichrist. So it's kind of like this. The intensity of antichrist and rebellion increases and increases. So we have Antichrist, plural, that will culminate in one Antichrist during the tribulation. The true Antichrist, the actual man Antichrist, but he won't be revealed until after the next thing on the calendar, and that's the rapture. All right, so here we have the rapture. So he'll be revealed. I read that this morning in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. He won't be revealed until after the rapture. When the rapture occurs, that is when the Lord comes back and takes believers out of the world, the Spirit being in believers, this end ministry of the Spirit in believers will cease, and so believers and the indwelling ministry will cease, and the Antichrist then will be able to come in. So Satan will have the freedom to energize then his man as the Antichrist to culminate the Antichrist movement. In fact, we could take this Antichrist movement all the way back to here, Spirit of Antichrist, and it continues to progress here. And so that's what we see worldwide. So what we're trying to do is take a biblical template and put it on history as we understand it, past history and current history as well, current events and so on. So, worldwide rebellion is intensifying. No doubt about it. Worldwide rebellion is intensifying everywhere around the world. Everywhere around the world, people are wanting peace. They're looking for peace. They're looking for somebody who can usher in peace. Who will that be? And so Christians believe, as Isaiah said in chapter 9, that the Prince of Peace is coming. Now, most people in the world don't understand the Bible. Even some Christians don't understand the Bible, so they don't know when the Prince of Peace is coming. And certainly the world doesn't understand, so anybody who claims to be the Prince of Peace, they will readily accept. Because what the world is crying out for is peace. All societies right now we recognize. Nobody thinks it's peaceable or the status of peace when they fear going out in public and being blown up. Nobody thinks that's peace. Doesn't matter what stripe you are of anything. That's not peaceful. And so we see this is intensifying in the world. And we shouldn't be surprised. Evil men shall wax worse and worse. And so we're seeing that. We're seeing that evil men are waxing worse and worse in all areas of life all over the world. I'm not just talking about in the United States, but worldwide. And so there's a great deal of rebellion worldwide. And the spirit of Antichrist worldwide. And so we realize that as we use this template of Scripture, we can try to have an understanding of the times. And having an understanding of the times doesn't mean we setting dates. Some people want to set dates. So some people take this too far and say, I've got it all calculated, and I know what the date is of the coming of the Lord. No, you don't. You don't know that. By the way, notice what Scripture says here in Mark's Gospel. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. Let's try 13. All right, Mark's Gospel 13, verse 32. All right, so you say you've got it figured out, and you know when Christ is coming back. You've done the calculations. You've got it figured out. You've got this formula nobody else has ever seen, but you've got the formula, and you know when he's coming back. Well, here's what Mark 13, 32 says. But of that day and that hour, when the Lord comes back, knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven. So the angels in heaven don't know when Christ is coming back. And I think this would include Satan, his demons. They don't know when the Lord's coming back. But it goes on to say, neither the Son, but the Father. So the Lord Jesus Christ, in his humanity, didn't know when he was coming back. In his deity, he does know. He's the God-man. You follow that? So in his humanity, he had limitations. He hungered, he thirsted, he died. In his humanity, he didn't know. In his deity, he did or does know. All right? But anyway, if you're listening to somebody on YouTube, which is not a good place to get your theology.
Amen.
Get your theology here. You stop listening to YouTube for theology. All right? But anyway, somebody on the YouTube tells you, I've got the date set. Well, don't listen to them because the Lord and His humanity didn't even know. All right. So, anyway, we have this scenario. Now, we need to add to this scenario as well, because everything in human history relates around Jerusalem and Israel. All right? So, the best place to find that would be in the book of Daniel. In chapter 9, so, in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27 is a significant passage that all theological systems must understand and must try to comprehend. All right, Daniel chapter 9. And verse 24. So here the Lord, the angel reveals this to Daniel. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. So 70 weeks. Now the biblical language of Hebrew here indicates 77s. And so the 77s turn out to be years. So these be weeks of years, you might say. 70 units of seven. So we have 490 units here. 490 units. And the 490 units are understood by the time you get to chapter 12 of Daniel as 490 years. It's the only way you can understand this, 490 years. So 490 years relate to Israel's history. These are significant years in Israel's history. Now, he gives 6 points in what these 490 years are going to accomplish. They all start with the word two. These are infinitives. And but my focus is not going to be here right now on verse 24. But verse 25 says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. So you add those together, you've got 69 weeks or 69 sevens. Which turns out to be 483 years. So from the time of that Ezra gave the privilege for the Jews to rebuild, which is about 445, from that time forward, 483 years would take us up to the time of the Messiah. So back here in Daniel's day, all the way down here to the cross, we have a period of 483 years, right before the cross. And these 69 weeks have already been fulfilled to accomplish the things that are referred to there in verse 24. But this leaves 7 years left. Now, between the 483 years and the conclusion of the 490, there are 7 years that must be accounted for. And but before the 7 years are accounted for or occur, we see in verse 26, and after 62 weeks, so we've got 7 and then 69, shall Messiah be cut off. Messiah is cut off on the cross, but not for himself. So here we have some theology here. Christ didn't die for himself. He died for mankind. Didn't die for himself. Messiah shall be cut up and not for himself. And the people, now notice the phraseology here, the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. So the people, we're talking about the people, shall come and destroy the city and the sanctuary. Well, at this time, this would refer to Jerusalem and the second temple, Zerubbabel Herod temple, the temple that existed in Christ's time. When did that happen? When did the people, destroy the city and sanctuary. That's A.D. 70. So we've got A.D. 70 here. So we'll put this marker here, A.D. 70. So Christ died about A.D. 30. He died, if he's 33, then he was born 3 years before Christ, Catholic calendar, right? A.D. 30 and then A.D. 70, when the temple fell, all right? So the in understanding this then, the angel reveals this to Daniel, and he goes on to say, the people of the prince that shall come. So the people that destroyed Jerusalem were the Romans. The Romans. The people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. So this then immediately jumps to the tribulation time. Why? Because the church age is not alluded to in the Old Testament. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. And then verse 27, and he, well, who's the he? He goes back to the prince. So the people of the prince, the people are the Romans. The prince, related to the Romans then, he shall confirm the covenant with the many for 1 week. So now we have this last week. And so the tribulation time. So, putting all these passages together, the Antichrist is going to make a covenant. Covenant with Israel for 7 years. For 7 years. Covenant with Israel for 7 years. He's the one who rides the white horse, Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. The next horseman, as it were, so this is some symbolism here, but the next horseman on the red horse will take away the peace. But he will come and he will offer Israel peace. And the world will be amazed. The world will be amazed. He will have the Jews build their temple. He'll have them build their temple on the very spot where the Dome of the Rock is, which right now is controlled by the Muslims. Now he's going to orchestrate this to get those Muslims out of the Jews. Now that would definitely be a miracle. But you see, the Lord is allowing the devil to allow the Antichrist to move the Muslims out of the way. See, so the devil thinks he's getting his way, and he's going to be involved in this. But the Lord is orchestrating all this. He's controlling all this. And so he'll allow the Jews peace, and then they'll build this temple, and they'll think this is great. Now, one of the things we find out is that the Lord puts two guardians over the temple, and these two guardians here will have supernatural powers. And they represent Zerubbabel and Joshua the priest, not Joshua the conquered the land, but a different Joshua. But Zerubbabel and Joshua, these men will represent them, but they will guard the temple with supernatural powers. So the Antichrist won't be able to get into this temple until he kills the two witnesses. Once he kills the witnesses, then he'll get in there and he'll demand the Jews to worship him. So we see this pattern. Now, as I mentioned this morning, since A.D. 70, the Jews have tried to rebuild the temple. They've been trying to rebuild this temple. And they've tried to get the things together and all kinds of plans. And one thing or another always blocks them. Of course, the Lord's orchestrating all this. He's the sovereign one over everybody. Right now, I understand that the building stones for the temple over there. The Jews have garb ready for the priest. They're looking for the red heifer to burn and sprinkle the red heifer ashes so that they can dedicate. And there are red heifer farms in America to help the Jews that had red heifers burned to sanctify the area and so on. All that's been set up. It's been going on for a long time. And all of these internet preachers and those that are apologists for eschatology and so on, they get all worked up over this. And did you know that the Jews have the temple foundation stones over there? These are the signs of the rapture. This has been going on for 1,900 years. So what's the shelf life of a sign? You understand that? The fact that they have red heifer farms, they've got blocks and everything else, they've got the garb, that's not a sign for the coming of Christ. There are no signs. No signs for Christ's coming. But nevertheless, the Jews are wanting to build this temple. And so this Antichrist is going to come in. He's going to be a tremendous statesman. And a lot of character traits about him we can look at in Scripture, which we will. But he's going to orchestrate this and have a covenant with Israel. It's going to be a covenant of peace. He's going to allow them to rebuild or rebuild the temple or build the temple there. Now, I think as the Lord says there in Matthew 24, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. I think after a while, I'm just speculating, but somebody's going to be involved here. But maybe the Muslims, after they figure out, wait a minute, we've been duped here, and they may be the ones that cause the wars and rumors of wars. Nevertheless, he's going to have this intact. And he's going to have the power, satanic power, to be able to make this covenant for 7 years. Now, as he is the epitome of evil, he's going to be a covenant breaker. And he'll break the covenant midway in the tribulation. And then the Jews, by this time, will have to decide, do I want to worship this Christ or the true Christ? And many will take his sign. This is when he's going to require his sign, 666, his mark. And but many, there'll be a remnant of Jews who will reject him, and they will flee. All right, so this is kind of a template of coming things. And so we back up, however. So right now we're looking at Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Now he's going to cause that to cease. And for the overspreading of the abomination, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So he's the abomination. He's going to come into the temple and require the Jews to worship him. That's going to be the abomination. And, of course, some will take his mark and be damned, for that matter, and some will reject it. The remnant will reject it, and he'll pursue them for 3.5 years. But what we want to try to do here is see where we are. So we're in this period of time between the New Testament era. We identify the parameters when John came, all the way down here to the time of the rapture, crosses here. And during this period of time, there's been a special increase in wickedness. Men shall wax worse and worse. Apostasy is getting worse and worse. There's Antichrist everywhere, and there's more Antichrist popping up all the time, but these are all prefiguring the one true Antichrist. But he's not going to be identified till after the rapture. So right now, nobody in the world knows who the Antichrist is. Now, you might have your 10 favorite possibilities, but you don't know if any of those are correct. So two things here. You don't know when Christ is coming back, and you don't know who the Antichrist is. And nobody in the world does. So if anybody ever tells you, I know the date of Christ coming back. Let's see, it was supposed to be 2012, wasn't it, in September? No, it's come and gone. And there's been all kinds of dates. The year 666, Catholic Church thought Christ was coming back. The year 1666, they thought Christ was coming back. year 1984, people thought Christ was coming back. year 2000, everybody knew Christ was coming back and all the electronic equipment would malfunction. Everybody knew that, right? Of course, none of that ever happened. But there'll be people saying that 2017 is the year for the coming of Christ. And I know who the Antichrist is. No, you don't. So nobody knows. But what we do know is this template. So we expect there to be greater and greater rebellion worldwide, less and less peace. The world is crying out, we want a peacekeeper. We want somebody who will bring in the peace. And who's that going to be? He will externally be sympathetic towards the Jews and so on. But we're in this time period here. We don't know how long this period is going to last. The Lord could come back today, but he may not come back for 100 years. So there's no guarantee that he comes back in this generation. All right? So anyway, we have this scenario that's laid out here. We have the scenario that's laid out. And so the seventh unit of seven is 7 years. So that's why we believe tribulation will be 7 years, 7 year time. So we've got 483 years here, which incidentally, those that lived in the Lord's lifetime, they could calculate this. See, so by the time Daniel wrote, people understood, they took the Bible literally, we've got 470 years, so they have a time frame. And the people alive in Christ's time, so the believing remnant, they knew that they were in the in right around this time period when the Lord would come back. So they're in Matthew chapter 2, when Herod wanted to know where the king was going to show up and so on. And they had scripture, so they had general knowledge. This is the era that the Messiah is going to come. They knew that. They took the Bible literally. That's why Simeon and other of the saints there in the first century, they believed that they would see the Messiah in their lifetime. And they did. That's why the apostles, they understood, this is the Messiah. He's the Messiah. All right. Well, he died, and then the scripture indicates between the 483rd year and the last 7 years, there are two events that must occur. That was the cross and the destruction of the temple. So these two events must occur before the 70th year could come. The last 7 years of the prophecy could come. And these have come and gone. These would have been signs, but they've come and gone in the first century. There are two other elements that we might consider as well. One would be Peter's death. And so the Lord prophesied Peter would die. Peter would not be raptured. Now, Peter didn't know when he was going to die. And so, just like death and the coming of Christ are imminent, but we don't know when they're going to occur. And so, Peter had to die, so Christ wouldn't come back before Peter died. And the other thing would be the inference that the New Testament canon would have to be written and finished before Christ came back. And of course it did. It was. But John finished the New Testament canon. He was a member of that first generation, that generation of Christ. And so, but all these events occurred and occurred in the first generation. Since that time, there's nothing else that has to be fulfilled. Sometimes people say, well, technology had to come along, so we have all this technology for the devil to use, such as implanting things in the body for him to put his mark. I think his mark's going to be a supernatural tattoo he puts on people. I don't think there's going to be any technology left in certainly last 3.5 years of the tribulation. The whole infrastructure of the world is going to be destroyed. Mega earthquakes, destroying everything. But anyway, we have some of these events that had to happen here. But these events, these four things I mentioned occurred in the first century. There's nothing else that has to happen before Christ comes back. And so what we're looking at now is knowing what's going to occur over here, we try to have an understanding of the times. So Jerusalem is a cup of trembling, right? Not always has been a cup of trembling, but it's a cup of trembling right now. And right now, the issue is what is the UN, the United States, and the nations of the world, what are they going to do with Jerusalem and Israel? That's the big issue right now. I mean, that's so pertinent. It just fits in once we have the template here. Why is it Jerusalem just keeps coming up all the time? Why is it these Jews are such a big problem in society, people are asking? And there's a tremendous anti-Semitism that's involved here in the world. And it's foolish for any nation to be anti-Semitic. It's foolish. And now we're seeing some individuals who are showing their true colors. And of course, we can speculate that. Really, the only people who are not going to be anti-Semitic would be Jews and Christians. And Christians, after all, our Savior came from which one of the three sons? Came from Shem. Our Savior was a Jew. He came through the Jewish lineage. So for any Christians to be anti-Semitic, this is so contradictory. It's so elementary. And something is clearly missing when people don't understand this. But there are many anti-Semitic churches around there. I told you, Catholics were, Luther was, Calvin were, was. These men and the Protestants, for the most part, are anti-Semitic. This is so contradictory. And the world is anti-Semitic. So we have this biblical template here that we're looking at. And we don't know how things are going to work out. But we can have an understanding of the times. So we do know this. Apostasy and rebellion is going to increase worldwide. We wonder within Christianity how much more apostasy can increase. We've got women pastors. We have churches that don't believe in the deity of Christ. We've got all kinds of confusion going on here. And then the wickedness of the world and Satan's religion, the Muslim religion, is satanic and it's bringing about great rebellion in this world. But it just shows the heart of man. And why is it so many that have been in a Judeo-Christian country like America, at least in form, would fall so quickly to a satanic religion like Muslim, Islamic religion, and want to kill people? It's just hard to fathom why you'd want to kill people, blow up people, destroy people. Where does that destruction come from? Well, it's the spirit of Antichrist. The devil hates God's creation, and he wants to destroy God's creation. And so the spirit of Antichrist has been around since the garden and been in the hearts of mankind since that time, been orchestrating things and so on. And so we know that there's wickedness going to increase. There's going to be a strong hatred for Israel. There's going to be a cry for a man of peace to come forward and solve the world's problems. And we don't know who these individuals are, but that's the template we put on our current affairs based on Scripture. And every generation has tried to do that. And in the last few years, we've tried to put that template with the players that were in stake at stake there and so on. We find out, well, you know, not everybody fit the template just nice and neatly. But however, we know the Lord's going to use human players involved in all this. And we'll see how things are going to fill out. So we need to have an understanding of the times. At least we have a biblical perspective. The world has no idea how all this is going to play out, but we do. And it's just, who are the players going to be? And we're limited on the time element, and who the personages are, but we know there's a timeout and there are actual persons that are going to fulfill these things. All right, let's conclude with prayer here. Our Father, we thank you for the first time we've had to open the Word of God and to have an effort to try to have an understanding of the times. We pray that each of us will live in light of all these things and apply the Scriptures rightfully in this perspective. We pray that you bless us now and help us to live for the Lord and be focused on the Lord and walk close to the Lord as we do realize the wickedness of the world and how everything seems to be falling apart. Let us be focused on the Lord, we pray. Bless us now, we ask, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.